Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Recreational marijuana has been legal for almost 3 whole days now in Canada. And on the morning it became legal, our producer Claire and I decided to go in cold and check out how easy exactly it is to buy pot online from your local provincial government, in our case, Ontario.
So I have not even opened this site.
What is the site?
The Ontario Cannabis Store. I'm going to Google it. I'm assuming if OCSLearn.ca.
Ah, the first thing that it takes me to is the age gate. So the website offers cannabis products and information and is restricted to adults age 19 years or older. So I got to enter my birthday. I'm not telling you guys what my birthday is, so you can't hack my credit card information later. Enter the site. So it said verify, but they didn't actually verify anything. Okay. Presumably they will do that when we try to check out.
That was easy.
Yep. And now I am on the main Ontario Cannabis Store website, OCS.ca. I can buy dried flowers, I can buy oils and capsules, and I can buy pre-rolled joints.
Can I just say the packaging is super intimidating. Like, I know that's on purpose, but...
Yeah, that's by design.
It makes me wonder, like, if you're not going to have a photo of what you're actually purchasing, what's the point of having any photo at all?
So these range from, I guess, $7.95 a gram to... Well over $11 a gram. This is really kind of confusing because...
It's very confusing. I don't know what I'm looking at.
I don't understand. So for, obviously, you guys can't see this, but if you take a look around the store yourself and you're a non-educated cannabis user, I guess, you're going to have a hard time, I think, determining what exactly you're looking for.
Yeah.
There's nothing in here that tells me how much something is per gram, really. They're either selling it by the gram or selling it by 3.5 gram amounts or selling it by 7 gram amounts. But there's nothing on the browsing page that would indicate which one those are. And as much as it's cool to see percentage of THC and percentage of CBD, if you don't know what
that is.
What does
that mean? What are those numbers?
Yeah. I want to see exactly what kind of information they want from me and what kind of lengths they go through to verify that I'm not... you know, an 8-year-old. Well, I could be. So far, all I had to do was enter a birthday that could
That's
have been
true.
Anybody's. We're not going to buy. We're going to begin the process. You would purchase Cold Creek Kush. But in the meantime, I still haven't had to prove I'm 19, and I'm now continuing to shipping method. To be fair, Claire, there have been no hiccups on this website. It loaded right away. I'm sure this is the morning that pot became legal. I'm sure there's high demand on their servers right now.
Totally thought it was going to crash. I wonder what the packaging looks like when it's delivered. Like, how discreet is it?
That's a good question. So here's the payment method. Card number, cardholder name, month, and year. Okay, I'm going to... Oh, wow. I thought I would have to go through one more step. Okay. So they accepted...
Did you buy it? Did it go through?
Yeah, it did. Okay.
Whoops.
For the record, I'm going to cancel this order before it ever ships. Because I just wanted, I actually didn't want to purchase this, especially not because there's...
You don't even know what you got.
First of all, I don't know much about what I got. it's probably not what I would have got because, like I said, I have to learn about THC and CBD. And also, you know, when you order off Amazon, they give you a bunch of windows to check through to be like, okay, are you sure? If you confirm this, you'll still have a chance to review your order, et cetera, et cetera. And not only that is they didn't tell me that I could get other...
You may also like this. You may also be interested
right,
in
so
this.
Right, so they didn't recommend, yeah, they didn't,
I mean,
they didn't recommend stuff.
I think that might go a little too far.
That's true. The real thing, though, is that I never verified anything. To be fair, if you have to present ID on delivery, which we kind of knew would be a thing, that makes sense.
Well, congratulations. You've made your first legal, accidental marijuana purchase.
Thank you.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. This is day 5 of Pot Week, our final pot day, though probably not for long. That whole purchase process that you just heard, by the way, took about 12 minutes in real time, and it left me and Claire with a ton of questions. A lot of those questions will be answered in the coming weeks and months, but until they are, we decided to talk to an expert. That's what we do here. Cormac McSweeney is the Parliament Hill reporter for Rogers radio stations and city news across the country. He's been on this beat. He's gotten a lot of questions. We sent him some of yours, and he's here to try to answer them.
I should mention, Cormac, that Jordan accidentally bought pot on the site. That's how easy it is.
Accidentally?
That's how easy it is to use.
I was expecting to see one more page to like look at what I'd bought and everything, and instead it was just like, congratulations, your pod is on the way.
Interesting tidbit as well. There's no federal rule that says you can't buy from another province's website. So as long as that province has chosen to allow purchasing from anywhere in Canada, then you can pick up anything you want from any other online provincial store. Nova Scotia, you can't, because they have a specific rule in place about you have to proof of ID. Just to get access to the website, you have to go to the store itself, prove who you are, then you get an access code, and then you go on the website, then you order, and then when your stuff shows up, you have to prove your ID again. That's the way Nova Scotia is doing it.
Ontario told me on the website as I was purchasing it that they won't ship outside of Ontario.
And it's I spoke with somebody from the health minister's office, and they said there's nothing barring a province from sending their product to another province. Like, there's no rule saying that they cannot do that. But it's up to the provinces to set their own rules. So if a province chooses not to do that, that's up to them.
Okay, well, this leads us kind of to one of our first listener questions, because it has to deal with the online purchasing procedure. So Joni asked, if Canadians pay for marijuana with their credit card, which I unknowingly did, where is that credit card data stored, and could that data potentially be used by U.S. Customs to restrict Canadians who have purchased marijuana from crossing the border?
Privacy is actually going to be a really big thing around online purchasing of marijuana. And actually, a report from Deloitte in June says that one-third of recreational users in Canada do worry about their privacy and security of their personal information under the legal market. To answer that question, yes and no in terms of whether or not your credit card data can be stored in the United States or another country for that matter. Credit card companies don't all have their data storage facilities in one specific place. And there are banks, Canadian banks, as well as credit card companies like Visa, American Express, etc., that do have storage data in the United States for Canadian customers. There is no rule that prevents them from doing that. And so they can store your data in other countries. And usually when you sign on for your credit card or for your bank, that is in the long list of terms and conditions, et cetera, that you agree to. I actually reached out to the Privacy Commissioner's office on this issue, and they made that very clear that your information could be processed in a foreign country. And if that is the case, then it would be, your data would be accessible to law enforcement and national security authorities within that jurisdiction. In the United States, authorities do not need a warrant to access your data if it is being stored in the United States. So potentially, it could be accessed by U.S. Customs to possibly use against you. And so that's something that everybody has to keep in mind. The Privacy Commissioner Office is also trying to inform Canadians and sort of warn them that it's not just about your credit card data. You're buying something online. There are a lot of things to take into account
right
here. And even if you're just going to the storefront stores when they kick in for Ontario, but in other provinces as well, that your data, your name, your credit card information, your date of birth, your address, all of this information is being handed over to another company. And they are subject to Canada's privacy laws, but they are required to let you know about how they can use your data. And sometimes you just agree to it. I mean, who reads all the terms and conditions? Sometimes you just agree to it, and then that data can be sold off to other companies. So it's really consumer beware. Do your homework. Make sure you have all the information you need when you're making these decisions. And you should be aware that whenever you're buying something online, that data is at risk of being used by that company for other purposes, or possibly even, let's just say, look, like Facebook has been hacked. A lot of companies have been hacked and that data has been compromised. So anytime you go online and enter your information, it is at risk.
Okay, now I feel really good about my purchase, my accidental purchase. But this does, there's another natural question that follows from this, and we've gotten it, and I'm sure you've heard it as well. At Curtis Brunette says, the federal government has been very quiet about suggestions for citizens who travel for work and pleasure. Yes, the U.S. is one aspect, but we have a global economy. Public Works and RCMP have not really issued recommendations for security clearances and how that can affect work and life. Do we know? I know America is one thing, But do we know how Canadians are going to be treated while crossing borders? And what does the federal government say we should do if we get asked, do you smoke pot?
The first thing is, if you're asked by any law enforcement official, border officer, anything like that, the advice from everybody, the Privacy Commissioner's Office, the Trudeau government, and international governments is don't lie. You'll only make things worse for yourself if you lie to a law enforcement official. Be honest and tell them if you do smoke pot. The other thing that the Trudeau government is trying to get out there is they have no real standing with the laws of entry to another country. They can call the shots for people who want to come into Canada, but they can't call the shots for the US, for the UK, for France, for the Netherlands, for China, wherever you may be going. So if you are trying to travel to another country, you have to respect and understand the laws of that country when you're going over there. Don't travel with marijuana unless you're only traveling within Canada. On that point, you can actually travel if you're going from, let's say, Ottawa to Vancouver on a flight that doesn't stop off in the United States and only stays within Canada. You can have up to 30 grams, the personal possession limit, in your carry-on. You can have that in your normal luggage, your check luggage as well. You just can't light up. Some people may be thinking, oh yeah, but in Washington State or California, it's totally legal. If I'm going to Colorado, it should be fine, right? No, it's not okay, because federally in the states, marijuana is still an illegal drug, an illegal substance. And if you try to bring that into the U.S., as we've already discussed, you could be arrested on the spot for trying to bring an illicit substance across the border. I did a one-on-one interview with the Minister for Organized Crime Reduction, Bill Blair, and I asked him about the border issues, and he made a really good point in the fact that, look, currently under the at the time when we spoke, it was still technically illegal. And he said, currently under the illegal system, there's more than 4 million Canadians who have admitted to smoking pot, and yet we're not seeing massive backlogs and mass amounts of people being turned away at the border under the illegal system. He doesn't expect that to change under the legal system. But he's also warning people, basically, his message is don't be stupid. His term was you have to be responsible. But he says if you show up at a border crossing smelling of marijuana, well, then you're likely going to be turned away because the border officers will smell that and they will search. And if you have any on you, you could be arrested. So be responsible if you're going to cross the border. And that's the message that the Trudeau government is trying to get across as well.
Next question comes from my man DJ Sandwiches on Twitter, which is possibly one of the best Twitter handles I've ever heard. But it's an interesting question because we talked a lot earlier this week about the gigantic size of the black market in Canada, $5.7 billion last year. And he wants to know if Ontario and possibly other provinces, I guess, having limited retail outlets will do anything to impact the black market or even encourage customers who might not have been smoking before it was legal to get their stuff from the black market, because I can see it. I mean, there's a couple places where there's only several pot stores open. Ontario has none, and you might feel bad about giving them your credit card info. I could see people who have been waiting to try pot buying it illegally just because it's a hassle or a security concern to buy it legally.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to drive more profits to the black market than the black market's already received. I mean, the estimates are that the black market in marijuana before legalization was an $8 billion a year industry. And I think with the legal market and seeing the sales numbers that we've had in the initial stages of legalization, I think a lot of people are going to the legal market. But there are some issues around the legal market. And as pointed out, limited retail sales, not only that, but limited products and strains as well. Right. I spoke with a guy yesterday who was on Parliament Hill by the Centennial Flame, smoking up for 420 on the first day of legalization. He was really happy to be there. But he said he wasn't going to buy online sales in Ontario because he doesn't trust putting his credit card information on a website like that. And he likes to know who he's buying weed from. And so he's going to stick with his dealer until he can find a pot shop that he trusts. So there are people who are not going to make that switch right away. And yes, the black market will continue to thrive, at least in the months ahead, in Canada. And it's something that the federal government is aware of.
Another interesting question about the legal market and kind of what's changed in the last couple of days comes from Twitter user @NFStrongArm, who asks, what is the carbon footprint
or electrical bill of the cannabis industry going to look like?
I really like that question. Like, you gave me the heads up about this one, and I wanted to see if I could find some Canadian data on the marijuana industry. I tried getting in contact with Environment Canada to see if they had data on where we were at the point of legalization, with how many, with the number of producers that we have, and what they're emitting in terms of pollution. But they don't have, they didn't at the time we're recording this, have the data available to get to me. They do say that all of these companies that are licensed to produce marijuana in Canada do have to follow the same standards as other companies in this sort of field, where they are, they have to report their emissions. They have to abide by all the rules that other companies do, whether it's polluting into the air or our waterways. But it's also very difficult. I was speaking with somebody from Environment Canada, and they said, look, it's really hard because the industry just a year and a half ago is not the industry we have today at legalization. It has grown so much in the last year. I had received about 4 weeks ago, I had received an email from Health Canada that said that there are 120 federally licensed producers of cannabis in Canada. That had grown by 76 producers since June of 2017. So that's a big increase in just over a year. And they said that at the time they had sent the email, they believed that there is 11 million square feet of production license facilities by the end of June 2018. It takes a lot. Yeah, but it takes a lot to grow marijuana. You got the hydroponics. You've got solar lamps going all the time. This has to be done indoors in climate-controlled situations. So there's a lot of energy that has to be used to produce marijuana. So when you're buying green, it may not be so green. There's a climate change scientist out of California, Evan Mills, who said that he thinks the cannabis industry needs to make some gains in terms of efficiencies, because he said the total amount of energy used to power marijuana farms there is equivalent to powering 2 million homes and has the emissions equal to 3 million U.S. cars. So that is a lot of pollution just to produce marijuana.
Here's the last one, and this one's just kind of a speculative one because I don't think either of us could pin down an answer to this. But will weed eventually become so widespread and accepted, maybe it already is, that there'll be things like delivery services, like Just Smokes for Just Eat? And I wonder, to make it more specific for you, I wonder if we have any regulations about those kind of things, or if any of those things are kind of in the works. Because obviously right now the answer is no, but I certainly could see it being a part of the industry.
Actually, I will say there is a delivery service that is official. It's called Canada Post. And Canada Post and your mailman is your delivery service for the legal market right now, and all online sales across the country.
I want to order it on like an Uber, though. I want to be able to track
or like a pizza.
Yeah.
Aside from Canada Post, you are not legally allowed to do any delivery service whatsoever. So if you think, hey, wouldn't it be great if I, you know, just go on Craigslist or set up my own website and I'll just drive around with weed in my car and drop it off at people's homes, that would be an illegal business. And you could be busted for that by police. That is trafficking. And it's still federally illegal to go outside of the legal system and start selling weed. With that being said, is there a delivery service out there? I decided to just go on Google and type in Ottawa weed delivery, and
that's
a bunch of websites
money.
Popped up. Yeah, I just Google things. That's how I get my information. But I just checked it out, and there were tons that popped up, like 420express.com and stuff like this. And that they were all set up during the illegal dispensary system in the lead up to legalization. And they were still trying to do weed deliveries to your door from there and make an extra buck off it. So there are delivery systems out there. They're just working on the black market. They're working illegally. And other provinces, I did quick scans of their rules. Other provinces have the same thing. You can only buy your marijuana from officially licensed retailers and storefronts, or from the online stores. Maybe that could change. We never used to have beer delivery in Canada, and then slowly over time, these services started popping up. The beer store, as an official company, is allowed to deliver to your door now. And as marijuana becomes more normalized, we might see a societal shift in that. We might see these companies pop up. The best way to make a change is to get active and contact your politicians, you know, start petitions, things like that. That's the way you can get a lot of change in your jurisdiction if you think you should be able to get weed popping by your door within 40 minutes or less.
Listen, you got to fight for your right to party.
Yes, I love ending on a Beastie Boys note.
Cormac McSweeney, Parliament Hill Bureau Chief for Rogers Radio and all of City News. That was Pot Week on The Big Story. Something tells me this story is not going away entirely, and we'll probably be back on it before too long. But for now, thanks for rolling with us all week. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. Our producer is Claire Broussard. Ryan Clark is our associate producer, and Megan Coley is our associate editor. For more from us, you can hit us up at thebigstorypodcast.ca. All of our episodes are there. You can listen to Pot Week all over again. Or check out something else. You can contact us. We might answer your question on the air like we did today. And of course, hit us up, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Big Story Podcast. And subscribe if you haven't done so yet. Be sure to rate and review. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend responsibly. We'll talk Monday.